loving consciously with each other, it brings other people into our field, and then they kind of heal from that love too, is because it's all empathy, it's all compassion. When I look at her, I see myself. So we're such a mirror reflection. And once you become like spiritually conscious of it, I see the oneness between us. But we feel each other's pain, we feel each other's emotions. It's such a spiritual relationship with her. It was very beautiful. It's so childlike. We love each other so much, and that we see each other for who we like, every single piece of her I know, and every single she's, and it's just unconditional love in that way. We've been able to welcome a lot of people into our healing space and give them unconditional love as well. We have this like innate gift to like just love other people and just see them for their soul. Everyone just has a lot of trauma, and that's kind of what we can sense, and we can kind of sense what they really just need nurturing. So whenever someone like comes and lays on our Reiki table, I see their inner child and I see them as their younger self. By really loving them as who they are now, who they were, who they will be, there's a deep awakening happening within us, because that's where everything, that's where everything is. We have this internal consciousness, this internal truth, this universe inside of us that connects to our source. Reiki is just that energy given to other people in a way where it's programmed, intentionally spread to help and heal. Healing is a dimension of consciousness. Reiki to Jesse and I is all, it's free energy. They want to change things, but they've been stuck. So we work with them, we get them unstuck, and then we witness them grow. Fear is the frequency that has really held us back from soul evolution. Us as humans, we're all very connected. There is a collective consciousness where our energies affect each other. And when we have higher frequency emotions, higher frequency experiences, those trickle out into the rest of the world. The more that we focus on opening our hearts, because it's ultimately our heart chakras that connect us. And if we remain open from this center, we can really start to attract beautiful connections that bring you things that you need.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We have such an exciting episode today. If you have been following us on the show, we launched a new series last quarter called Loving with Conversations. So this is our second episode in that series for Q4. And Loving Conversations is a series with the intention of bringing on other people that are in some form of conscious relationship. Obviously reminding you all that on this show, we are not just talking about romantic relationships. This can be family, this can be friends, it can be parent-child. In today's case, it can be siblings. And giving them a platform to talk about how they're navigating it, how they're figuring it out, because we are all figuring this out together. And, we talk about our relationship a lot. And so it's nice to have other perspectives. So, without further ado, I am so excited to share that this time we have twins. We have twin sisters. Jules and Jessie are here to join us and talk about their journey together and as individuals. So, ladies, sisters, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm so
Yes.
excited.
I'm Jessie. I'm Jules. Jessie in the black, Julie in the
So, I'd love to start with introing y'all, and then we'll ask you our lovely intro question. So, y'all are the Reiki twins, epic name. And yeah, if you would just share with our listeners a little bit like who you are, and obviously your twin sisters, but just a little background of, what has gotten you to the place that you're in now.
We both were born, I mean, we were born together. We've been through kind of like the same exact childhood trauma. So we got to experience that together. We had a lot of trauma growing up. It wasn't easy, and we didn't really have like a lot of positive role models. So we kind of used each other as role models. But in that, we became very, well, we are just very highly sensitive people. We have a lot of empathy because we witnessed each other kind of like suffer in a way. And I think that built our compassion. So that's kind of like the foundation of the healers that we have become. We took separate paths. We went to different colleges, and this was all pre like awakening per se, where we kind of learned more truths about this reality and other dimensional aspects of what we can't really see. And we always kind of had like telepathy. So that was like, we both were like, okay, this makes sense to us. But I ended up going into healthcare and working as a nurse and just kind of witnessed the lack of curing issues versus like treating them and having, I would say, clients who kind of were dependent on the pharmaceutical and Western medicine mindset, which there's other healing mindsets, there's other practices all across the world. So I think I kind of wanted to expand my knowledge with that just because I wasn't seeing people like heal. And a lot of it, I knew the root cause was like trauma, and that's not something that was addressed. So trauma is something we're very And healing trauma is something we're very passionate about. So we started, or Julie can tell a little bit about her story, but we eventually came together after her, she went to George Oh, Mason for a I master's. like after high school, it was a very like tough decision to decide to go to different colleges because so we grew up in a family where it was just me, my sister, my mom. Our father passed when we were four, and that was our earliest memory in this lifetime. There was a couple memories before that, but the most significant shared memory was his death. And we were both very young, and we both witnessed it happening. And that was such a deep foundation for our connection because we knew from that we were very, like, I would say, conscious children, but Jessie, I knew she was very smart. And we both knew our lives were going to be challenging after we witnessed that, and that kind of passed to what I call like what we lived in, kind of like a matriarchal situation with just our mother. And it was very interesting to witness like the feminine energy from that space and without the masculine. Any sort of masculine balance, like external. And Jesse and I are very imaginative, creative children. A lot of our connection really stems back to where we were as kids because we were both very warrior-esque. We could both see through the veil. We both had psychic abilities then. But then once, we went through the public school programming and we went through a lot of, the rote memorization, you can do this with your life, this, the box building and the cube and all that stuff. So we ended up getting to a point in high school where I was like, personally, I said, I can't go to the same college as you because I wanted Jessie to, she is very social. She has a very like social, a huge social like capacity for people. I mean, it's something I admire now, but then it was very much like I need to find myself in my space, in my alone space. And also, she got better grades than me in school. And I wasn't going to apply to any colleges that I was like, I didn't want to get rejected. So I applied to the ones that I knew I was going to get into. That was basically my life. So I went to a really small school and she went to a really big school. And then we stopped communication. That was really a lot of me. I had to do a lot of soul searching in that time. And during my time in college, I would say, pretty hooked on alcohol. And I got into an abusive relationship that kind of put me in a state of deep isolation for a little bit. And then I actually like got into trouble with that situation. And Jessie was, in her college, making a lot of friends while I was over there. I mean, just suffering, like really, really, really. And I hated college. I was like, this is all, it's a different, I hated it. And Jessie was like,
Experience, yes.
And so what happened was I went through a lot, ended up in Northern Virginia once I graduated
Let's fly.
college. And getting through college was very hard for me because the whole time I was like, I don't like any of this. I literally felt like just trapped in the system. I just felt trapped in the knowledge I was learning. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this because I studied psychology. That ended up in Northern Virginia. And then I ended up working for someone who was very narcissistic. And that was when I decided I needed to work for myself, find a way to figure out how to not do the old matrix 9 to 5 situation that was like soul sucking in itself. So I went to graduate school, got a master's degree in sociology, and that was something I was extremely passionate about for a while. And that was social science research to improve the lives of others. And it focused on the structure as opposed to individuals, because I think we kind of obviously we live in a system that's repressive in itself. It isn't just the individual's fault. So went through all that, did my master's degree, completed that. I had a job. I was studying children in schools, and I really loved that job. I felt very connected to that job. But then COVID hit, and I wasn't allowed back in the schools anymore. So as soon as COVID started, though, I mean, that's when stuff started ramping up, and I was starting to get like the downloads and the psychic drops about how the world was not going to go back to normal as soon as they even announced like potential pandemic for this virus. And it was before they announced it. I remember exactly when it happened. I said, and I called her because we're both in relationships. We were both in Northern Virginia and we really didn't see each other much. What actually brought us together was Jessie kept getting sick from her job. And I was very resistant to kind of building a relationship with her in my adulthood because growing up, we were very resource deprived. So our mother would put, it was very programming though. She would program in our heads that we needed to find a way to accumulate a lot of wealth really quickly. And that would be through marrying somebody with wealth or something. That was kind of like her thought process. So it was very challenging. I felt like I couldn't really connect to Jesse while I was trying to figure out how to do that. I mean, like, how do you do that? And this world that's so like anti, empathy, nurturing, all those things. It was a very interesting space. But we ended up starting to just like call each other every day when like this, they were like, isolate yourself, blah, 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 put yourself in your house and don't come out. Yes. And I just kept calling her and we started doing research
Research.
and
Rabbit holes.
rabbit holes. The rabbit holes just started like opening up.
Oh, here it comes.
We were going down different ones, but then coming together, talking about them. And I was in the hospital when COVID started. So I was working on postpartum and I had been ill, ill from working in that. I threw up constantly and the masks like didn't help me. They made me very nauseous. So, I mean, I had to wear the same mask like for every shift too, because they said they didn't have enough. And then it was just a lot of crazy stuff. And then I couldn't do night shift. I ended up like throwing up at 3 a.m. and they were like, well, you have to do night shift. So I got like a anxiety letter from a doctor and I got a month off. But during that month, I decided to move to like Black Mountain. So right outside of Asheville, I like was really working on meditation though at this time. And I had done like mind body therapy and it was like really coming online, like the trauma that was stored and where it was coming from and what so certain memories were coming back. And Julie and I, like, I feel like it was both happening at the same time and we were not like in the same physical space, but it was helpful to have her. Or I moved to Black Mountain and I had made flashcards of like all the chakras, all the like essential oils and the crystals. And I was like studying this for some reason and I was using it for my own healing. And then Julie said, we should learn Reiki. And she had bought a book and she was like, well, we need to meet a Reiki master so we can get attuned. And I was like, well, I don't want to put that out there. But I mean, like, I don't physically want to go after that when I'm not sure. And I was going on vacation the next week and but I was coming here to the Outer Banks and but I was living in Asheville, so I'm living here now. But I had been on vacation and there was a woman there who was a Reiki master and she was like talking about in the pool and I was like, yeah, I need to learn. So she was like, I'll teach you for free. So she ended up teaching me and I really understood everything. I really didn't need a lot more education on it. I did get like trained in level two Reiki master eventually, but it just came so naturally. And Julie, when I learned, I called her immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to tell you everything. She was like, you need to just tell me what everything you learned.
It was so divinely timed. I mean,
Yeah.
we were both just going down the holistic health route because
Yeah.
and really, really connecting to like the ET knowledge too. Like as soon as we were both, I remember we were both just like kind of talking and then we both started watching Ancient Aliens
Yeah, that was a
and
big part
we're on the phone together and I said, they say that we're all derived, we're all from, extraterrestrial species, our DNA and everything like that. And she's like, I know that's true. And I was
Yes.
like, I know it's true. And so we just kept talking about it. And that really resonates with me. And because I feel like I've always been kind of kept in this, like, there's always something in my aura, like all the time, and kind of this bombarding, it's almost like bombarding of dark thoughts and negative thoughts to keep me from uplifting myself and to keep me going back into lower vibrational patterns. And it was pretty intense when we moved to like the Northern Virginia area, and I was with a partner there, and he was witnessing me awaken. And I mean, it was like incredible, because then I saw what was in his aura and I was like, oh my gosh, we are loaded here. Like, we gotta get out of this. We gotta cleanse. We gotta cleanse.
Well,
And I didn't
needed.
really know how to process that at first, because I saw lower dimensional entities, but I also saw the higher ones too. And they were started connecting with me as well. And that was happening through like mushroom medicine. And I was experimenting with that. And it was so incredible because I had a thing with alcohol and I had been taking antidepressants since I was like 16. I had been trying them and birth control pills since 18. And as soon as Jesse and I started exploring Reiki, especially within like 2 weeks of being attuned, I completely quit drinking and haven't touched alcohol in over 4 years and stopped all the pills, everything. And then we felt so connected to the practice. Once she attuned me, which I felt really honored, because I saw it unfold, how Jessie was literally like led to the teacher. And then I was like, can you attune me? And she attuned me. Everything else just fell away. Like her relationship collapsed, that timeline collapsed. The day her relationship she was in collapsed was, I'm just gonna, my ex-boyfriend's birthday. So I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. It was like so crazy, so bizarre. And I was already planning to move to Texas with him. But in many ways, like that relationship had ended months before too, because of all the awakening symptoms I was receiving. I was being like consciously guided to decalcify my third eye. I was doing all of that work and really kind of exploring my psychic abilities, opening up to my ability to past life regress. And I can see things with my third eye and, different dimensions, and I can remote view. It's such a like a extensive part of me that all of these substances and all of these like things just absolutely like harm and disconnect me from that. So Jesse and I have had this like it's been very unspoken. I mean, we really don't even, we just, it's just like this force that just like guided us to off grid. Like we really had to move away from the city. And we're on Manio, the town of Manio, which is in the Outer Banks. So the most east of this country you can get, a
We're like
very
right on
tiny island.
the rim
Yes, slither
of this
land,
country.
the ocean and everything. And
It's an
it's,
island. Yeah.
I mean, it's a popular tourist place, but there's like nobody here at this time of year. It's so peaceful, so calm. We're very isolated from a lot of the things that we used to be very challenged with, all of the hustle and bustle, the fast pace, the rush, and our nervous systems. Both of us, we just knew based off of like our childhood upbringing, a lot of our families, the way that they think, that she and I were kind of being rushed through life, almost felt like pushed to have a short life. Really, I felt like that. And so we're kind of on this prop, like this stage and path to life extension, longevity, training, discipline, teaching ourselves how to like really, really care for each other
Yes.
in a way that we're so connected in a family way. Because
Yep.
I believe like there's a lot of power in family, and there's a lot of things that separate the family in this spiritual war we're all experiencing, in this physical war as well. And when I look at her, I see myself. So we're such a mirror reflection. It's a very strange thing. Once you become like spiritually conscious of it, like I knew something was special about her, like growing up. But now that I see the oneness between us, I'm like,
How nice.
it's impossible for me to not care about her, like her happiness.
Yes, the needs.
Yeah, and like her highest potential too is very important.
Yes.
I love that so much.
That was fun.
I knew a lot of that. Actually, I knew most of that. But first and foremost, thank you both for being here. Thank you for sharing that. It's, we just finished this training we were just telling y'all about, and something she was talking about is like we are really at this time where like light workers and star seeds, all these different words you want to use, but like people of the light are starting to put ourselves out there, like in another lifetime, saying what you just said on a recording on a podcast, like you would have been hung, right?
Yeah.
And so, just thank you like for putting yourself out there, for sharing that vulnerably, because it is like a lot to come on and say like, here's what I went through and what I'm experiencing. I would love to ask y'all our quick intro question, and then we can get deeper into some of these things. We ask
Okay.
everybody on the show, and I'm like so excited to hear this answer right now because y'all are twins and this is like such a unique experience. What does loving consciously look like in your relationship, or in your sistership, I should say, and or business, because you're business partners as well?
Yes. Well, the physical needs, we have to make sure those are met for each of us. We share more, so right now. So we kind of have to work together to get things done. So like one of us will cover the shop, one will take care of the physical, like go get the food for both of us. Like that's just how we've had to do it. We didn't have like a father, and we love our mother, but she was a little. We're very sensitive. We need a lot of nurturing. So we've had to play like roles for each other too, almost in a way. So we've been for the past 4 years, we've been reparenting ourselves together. But if you look into it more, there's certain, I think, powers that be that kind of affect the family unit, and it's really up to us to take control of what we went through and not really have any expectations. So, but we're blessed to have each other to work through it together. But we feel each other's pain, we feel each other's emotions. We try to help each other as much as we can while also like really working on taking care of ourselves as individuals and like getting space from each other too.
I would say I always loved her. Like, I would even admire her. Like, when we were younger and we had, like, before our awakening, I always thought Jessie was such a beautiful person, such a light-hearted individual with so many gifts. And she was very unique in our,
So nice.
like, when it we actually had a very, I don't know that I'm trying to answer the question, but it's a very extensive answer. Our relationship, one, I don't think this is the first lifetime that we've had that we've worked together as light workers. And I even, like, at this point, safe to say that we're once the same soul for sure. And over an expanse of time, we split in bodies, and then there's been lifetimes of separation as well, and those are very, very hard. And I would even say, like, the 7 years that we were separated were, for me, the darkest time in my life. And because she brings so much light into my life, like, it was almost like going through the tunnel, the dark tunnel, and that was like the passage. And then the light came back on when I realized that she was missing from my life, and we weren't communicating in a way where we were building a family bond. And we're both black sheep in our family. So we really only keep in contact right now with our mom. And our mother is, we actually is like our, what I would even say, like our project. Like,
Yes.
we do so much work with her.
Yes, she is
And we could,
open to it.
yes, she's open to all the experimentation and all that. And it's really fun because it's almost like two of us at a time. You really can't stop.
She can't say no.
Can't stop it
She's
because you're
never
just
like,
like,
maybe. Yeah. We both have to. But
it's a two against one.
always has been
It has
fighting.
been. And when we were together, like in high school, I witnessed like a lot of things happened for me and Jesse that, like, it doesn't happen for other people because of the two of us, like the energy that we brought to the space. It was very interesting time when, and it always has to deal with working with other people. So I think the reason why, well, not one, well, not the only reason, but one of the biggest reasons why our love, like between us, the love that we share is so important to like hold up and to work on, is because the more we like, it's all empathy, it's all compassion, it's all nurturing, it's so like maternal, like in many ways. I mean, there's protection there too, like we do protect each other so much, like with the masculine energy as well. There's a lot of working with both energies, but kind of uncovering that sacred feminine energy between the two of us and the sisterhood aspect of something that is so, I would say, lost but so natural to our being, is seeing each other as sisters first and foremost, and almost like knowing that that's an important type of relationship to have, and it's a beautiful thing you get to experience. The love that we share, like, we started off like so small, but the more time we spend together, the more people we help too. So it kind of, with loving consciously with each other, it brings other people into our field as healers and teachers and guides. And then they kind of heal from that love too.
I relate so we relate so much to what you're saying, because something I think we all really connected on as well is, like, I mean, y'all have met us, so I don't know, you can say what you think, but like we think we're twin flames, you know, that same kind of like soul split into two thing. And just so much of what you were saying resonated, and you know, something that we say all of the time, and it really summarizes so much of what you were saying, is like, we are so blessed, regardless of soul split into twin this, soulmate that, it doesn't matter, like, to have someone who is so much your other half and is also awake and is also committed to the work, like protection. And you know, we're doing really deep healing work, like watching out for each other. And you know, that what I'm loving is happening right now. Like, this is exactly the vision of this series, is for listeners to see it does not just have to be romantic. It's not all about relationships like that. We got sold that lie that that's like the only thing that matters. You can be in a conscious partnership with your sibling, with your parent. So thank you for like showing that. I know you wanted to add something.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful, the relationship that you have and the love, the deep love that you have for each other. It's palpable. You know, thank you again for sharing your story and to going into kind of the shared trauma that was experienced in your younger years and how that evolved into you kind of both separating and taking and learning your own lessons and then coming back together as you've woken up and you know, choosing to return to relationship. That is something that we really advocate for in this show is the capacity to choose love, right? It's to choose returning to relationship and doing that work to be able to build conscious partnerships with people whom we thought maybe we would never talk to again. It's just a beautiful, kind of a joke, but it's a beautiful reflection for both of you to be able to look at one another and have that reflected back, having that telepathic connection and that energy you already tapped into spirit, and then to be able to see the reflection of yourself in another human, I almost see it as the way God kind of sees and experiences all of us, recognizing its own spirit of divinity within each one of us. And it's almost like you've got this physical representation of what we are all being asked to do in this plane
From
of
birth.
from birth, yeah, of being able to recognize the divinity in each one of us and connect with our God center and be able to activate and heal other people's connection to the divinity by actually recognizing it within themselves.
That's very, yeah, it's very intuitive. I also love that y'all wore black and white, like opposites today, like unintentionally, or was it intentionally? It was unintentionally, right?
Unintentional.
I want to go there real quickly with this twin telepathy thing because, you know, this is really fascinating to me. And, you know, we have started pushing the meter on how far we're getting into talking about some stuff. So for our listeners, you know, it's not crazy. Like we hear all the time, right? Like in mainstream, like twin telepathy, and they literally know and have proven twins can telepathically speak. They can feel each other's emotions. They can hear each other's thoughts, et cetera, right? We know that. And most people hear that and they're like, oh, yeah, twins, they're the same. Like, okay, my brain can accept that. If we can agree on that and accept that, why can't we agree and accept that everyone has that capacity? Eric and I have built that skill over time. And so, yeah, I just would really love to hear from y'all's perspective. What is that like? Like, how is that experience for you? Because you were born this way, and I'm just now coming online to this at almost 30, you know, 31, 32 years old. And so I'm curious what that journey's been like of kind of being pre-born for this and wired with it.
I feel like it's been happening since like we were so young. We had similar fears, we had similar anxieties, and some of them like didn't really have a root cause, but we had the same exact thing. So it was a lot of comforting each other.
Yeah, a lot of it.
We knew that we were not being treated with a lot of like love and nurturing. And so we empathized with each other. And then, so if somebody came around and like, we had like a meter for when people were going to like be more of like an energy vampire and kind of like take cracks at us. And we both could just feel that energy. So we would get protective of each other without even like saying anything. It was pretty rare that we found people who were like nice to us.
That
So it was a lot of that for each other.
like elementary school, people were nicer. We had a few friends that we got really close to. We kind of had a mirror situation. We always did. My mom actually dressed us the same until we were like in fourth grade. So, and we're not identical. We're fraternal twins. That's something that I'd like to.
You wouldn't know. Yeah, we didn't mention that. I forgot to mention that in the beginning because you do look like most people would probably assume you were identical.
Yes, everyone does.
Yeah, but we're not. It's such a spiritual
Yeah, yes.
relationship with her. It was always spiritual, even when we were younger, because I think well, obviously, we're both star seeds, so we're both highly empathic and we're both multidimensional. So we had that dimension activated as kids, and we were very interested in like very strange, like it wasn't strange things, but very spiritual things when we were young. Like we were very interested in Japanese manga, anime, Japan. It's so funny because Reiki is Japanese. So once that came into our lives, I was like, oh wow, like that's a whole like huge synchronicity, because then it kind of translates to potential past life connections, why we were so drawn to it when we were kids, why we were so drawn to like the spirituality of the location, like of Japan and everything like that. And then once we kind of came back together and we lived at our mom's for a little bit, because that was part of our journey, was to spend time with her when we were awakening and doing the Reiki twins. We were working with our relationship with her and then still taking Reiki sessions and clients. All we did was watch Japanese cartoons, like while we were together. It was really, and we
Yeah.
were, yeah. I feel like on a deeper level, the telepathy was like something that she and I, it's so multidimensional. We were put into really strange situations as kids. Like since our father passed and we were so young, my mother, we were raised by babysitters. Those were very interesting experiences because they were beautiful people, but always very wounded people. We were always put around very people who have, they were just stressed out, usually about money, family trauma, and she and I just kind of held on to each other, knowing that we weren't, a part of their family, and we would be there for hours, hours, hours. Really, we have a similar imagination. Yep, Jesse and I. We're very similar in the aspect of what you don't see. I mean, we're similar in what you do see, but also in what you don't see, like internally, our creativity, our like spatial awareness, our ability to like design is very similar. And it's very beautiful. Like, it doesn't have like, it's so childlike. We like to think that a lot of the energy that we bring forth in this lifetime is reflective of our inner children.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, you do, like, even just from the short time that we spent around you do kind of move in unison. You kind of act as one unit, which is very similar to how Amorous and I act. We kind of move and operate in the world as a unit. And I don't know why, but a flock of birds or a school of fish is coming to my mind, and how there is this telepathic connection in that you're able to communicate energetically on such a sub-perceptual level, in that you don't, it's not telepathy in the way that you think always. That's described in the movies of, like, I heard their voice in my head, which, yes, can happen. And much more of that is on a sub-perceptual basis, in that there's just almost this energetic resonance that happens with the other person that you're able to perceive at kind of a microscopic level. And I wonder if you could share a little bit about how that telepathy and that bond, this journey, as children being exposed to trauma yourselves, and to ex other people who were your caretakers who had their own traumas, you kind of built this superpower of being able to observe and sense other people's struggles. And so, how does that translate now into your healing work together, since you both have this deep connection and the ability to sense kind of what other people might be struggling with together and in unison?
I think we have this like innate gift to like just love other people and just see them for their soul versus like through a lens of, I would say, well, it's usually projection. So the fact that we love each other so much, and that we see each other for who we like, every single piece of her I know, and every single she's, and it's just unconditional love in that way. We've been able to welcome a lot of people into our healing space and give them unconditional love as well, because ultimately
it's trauma. Everyone just has a lot of trauma, and that's kind of what we can sense, and we can kind of sense what they really just need nurturing. So whenever someone like comes and lays on our Reiki table, I always, or for a lot of them, I see their inner child and I see them as their younger self, and I usually comfort that during the Reiki, and it's kind of like a fragment retrieval, because when we go through trauma as children, we kind of leave off, or trauma in general, we leave off parts of our souls. So I feel like by really loving them as who they are now, who they were, who they will be, then that's the kind of healing the world needs. And it really sparks something inside of them because they may have never felt that before, like full acceptance, no judgment. And that brings out something, I think.
Loving people and loving ourselves, like in the present moment, like as we are. Even though I think we all strive for better and we all strive for greater, and I think there that's important too, but really being in the present moment with somebody who is maybe like the wounds are still open or gaping and still just loving them with the wound, it's because it's almost like a part of, I guess, like the telepathic reality that she and I share, because we really are telepathic. Like there was when we were after I talked, there's a couple of instances that came through, reminders of how many times I say something and she
I've already had a
literally
thought.
said, I had that thought last week, and I'm like, you didn't tell me.
I know I forget to share. And I don't
Oh
share.
my gosh, it happens all the time, and I think it's a profound thought, and I'm like, it's an original thought,
Yes, I
right?
know. She's so excited about it.
And she's like, I already thought it. And she starts walking away. I'm like, oh.
I love so much that you brought up an example. Yeah, it's we've been playing with it a lot lately too. Like, this is the thing, listeners. Like, it's just the first invitation to just take a breath because that was a whole lot of information. But like, it doesn't all have to be so serious, right? Like, I am having all of this gift come online very hard. I shared a few things with y'all. And one of those was that includes hearing not positive things, right? And I'm still learning to navigate, like when I hear people's very sexually inappropriate thoughts or something like that. But it can be fun too. And something I don't know, I guess I speak for me, play around with is like I'll try and like beam him things like that I want. Or like I'll think about something and I'm like, ooh, that's a really good idea. And then I'll get his attention, like not physically, try and imagine this if you can, listeners, but like I'll energetically like call to him with that in mind. And then he'll be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, I was just having that thought, like it can be fun. And again, this as y'all are showing, like Eric and I didn't have this when we met. Like this is something that developed over time. I mean, in a sense, it did, but like at this level, it is a skill and it is something that you learn when you don't have all of this distortion, right? And all of this interference and all of these chemicals and toxins and beliefs and energies. And I could go on for hours, but
Yeah, it also is learned by staying in relationship with someone for an extended period of time. In a society where lots of people are constantly moving and shifting relationships because they get activated and it's like, no, it's not me, it's you.
That
And
was
then
very generously put.
and then we separate and we look for something externally of ourselves to fulfill ourselves rather than learning to fulfill ourselves in our existing relationships and to love in a more conscious level. If we're able to stay in relationship and focus on growth in that relationship, whether it's friendship, whether it's family, whether it's a romantic partnership, you get to do more life with that person. And so you get to perceive more. And there's almost this unification that starts to happen where, especially over the last, like, I want to say three or 4 years since we started this healing journey and kind of entered in the second phase of our relationship together, we've started to have this experience of blending in that we've almost forgotten which mannerisms are whose and who started it, and we're starting to adopt and mirror each other in certain ways.
I said that, and I said that. It was my idea. Like, where
Oh,
did
this was your thought?
Yeah.
It's a funny experience, but it's beautiful that
Monsters.
y'all have that and that you've been able to nurture that over this time period. The show Sense8 comes to mind from Netflix, where people are able to connect psychically these soul clusters, and they're able to actually move their consciousness into other people's of the same cluster's body and be able to support one another. And that's this thing is like, yes, this can be fun and amazing and light, and it's also deeply healing, because when you begin to merge and connect with another person, you start to experience and almost take on some of the struggles that they're being asked to work through and being asked to heal. And so you have a very unique way of being able to actually hold and support that person in their healing.
It leads perfectly into my next question, which we didn't talk about this when we got together, which I'm realizing I did it again. I get so excited in these episodes and I forget to give context on like how the heck we know each other. We were actually connected through Drew of Cosmic Light Force. We also interviewed him on the show, and yeah, he just was like, "You're gonna be in the Outer Banks, like you need to meet these people." And immediate soul family, right? Immediate. We've known each
Yes.
other for a very long time, so that's how we know y'all. But we didn't get to talk about this when we got to see you and your shop, which we'll mention in the end. Definitely the Reiki Twins store, which is like, oh my gosh, exquisite, the crystals. We
Love
lost me there for a second. I went to Crystal Fantasyland.
Yes,
So I'd
I've been
love
there
to
with all of
ask,
you.
yeah, I would love to ask about conflict because this is something we talk a lot about on the show. We're very vulnerable here in what our patterns are and what, we're overcoming and how we're doing this because you have a mirror, right? This is, and in way more sense than we'll ever understand, a literal mirror since birth that is like half your DNA or however twins work. And so I'd love if you could touch on and talk a little bit about how do you two manage conflict? What does that look like? And how are you navigating that in conscious relating as sisters?
Yes, we have conflict. Yes. We do conflict. So it's very hard. The one thing about our life is that we have been crammed into tiny spaces, and we have not been given a lot of living space. Like, it's very, very hard to find housing here in the Outer Banks, but like throughout this whole time, we had one lease. And that just went down the, it just didn't end well. So we didn't want to sign another lease for a while. So we fight because we really don't have a lot of space, and we are very different. Like, in certain, I'm very type A. I like to plan and like take action and do things and kind of like keep things, I don't know, my I do have like my own space now, but kind of keep it nice. And
And I'm more like the destruct sister. I will destroy things. I'll come in like a freaking like bomb and just be like, bah, 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 and she's like, stop, stop. And I'm like, I don't know if you're ready for all this. And then,
Turmeric everywhere.
turmeric. I experiment with a lot of stuff. I'm constantly experimenting with like different supplements and different healing modalities. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, over here in my like lab. And
Science.
she's like, you're getting everywhere. And I'm like, I gotta figure this out. There's
Herbs
something, it's calling
everywhere.
me, it's talking to me. And she's like, I don't know what to do. So we do, and we've been put under a little, and I don't want it to all be like this has been like, dark, hard, like so hard, so challenging, so stressful, because she and I have transmuted a
Very
lot.
fortunate, yes,
We're
fortunate.
very fortunate, and we transmute a lot through laughter. Like, we'll have people who tell us that our laughter has a frequency. So once we start, like, we'll just, and it's a communication thing that we have. So she'll laugh, I'll laugh, and they're like, you just like spoke to each other on a different
level, and I'm like, yeah, because sometimes you just, just gotta, we have to laugh. I love Jessie's manners, and I think she's hilarious. I think she's precious, and I think she like lights up the room. There's so many, I could, it's endless love. It's an endless love. It is, and I think in many ways, the darkness, we're
I was
also like,
muted. I said Jules is on one today.
I'm
Like,
odd.
no, you're on one, like with the
Oh.
compliments and the kindness. I love it. It's very sweet.
Buttering me up. Buttering me up. It's how I think about people. I
You're
never,
so
I don't
kind.
know how to like put, I don't want to, yeah, she deserves it. Like, she's a freaking, she's the strongest
You should too.
person. Like, she is a strong, she is a strong soul. Like, we've been faced with some pretty interesting, pretty challenging things that I don't think anybody, like, we're 29, and I don't think anybody, like, even it doesn't even matter what she, there's things that she and I have seen and faced that other people just won't ever face, like, in this lifetime. And I think, like, watching her face it while she has to deal with me, I'm like, please, like, this girl is like on another level of like, yeah, it's hard to not, I mean, it's impossible to not love her. Julie. I'm very like, yeah,
Oh, did you
maternal
want to add
towards.
something?
Yeah, the roles are, it's like a maternal, I felt like very maternal towards her since we were young. I felt like I had to take over like this caring role because I could see that she wasn't getting nurturing. I mean, I wasn't either, but I, there's like this protector side of me that like really wants to help other people feel better, but also I think is like kind of like a peacekeeper. Trauma response too, in a way. So it's something I'm working through. I just call in support when we get in fights. I call in like backup. I like call my friends, or I'll just like get it like, or we'll just get like some of our friends to like intervene and
Yeah.
kind of like help us see. I don't need to react so much.
Yeah.
It's a control thing.
I think most of our conflict stems from insecurity and, well, unprocessed insecurity, like facing our own personal wounds with, our beings, and then also like responsibility too. We have just this innate sense of responsibility for consciousness. It's not just me and her. Like, it's, there's a lot of people involved in how we operate, and there's a lot of things. It's just almost like the birthplace of a lot of things comes between Jesse and I's connection and our imagination. Like I said, our creative, what is happening before it comes in the physical. There's a lot of that that goes on, and a lot of it almost seems like it's not like third dimensional. It's not really like physical, where we have like just this ability to just do it. It's not always doing. There's a lot of like being with it, a lot of thinking it before it comes to you, and a lot of patience. There's a lot of patience. I mean, we're constantly tested with that.
Yeah. Thank you both for sharing that. As someone who's in a, I would say almost equally as close, less being together since birth relationship, we also don't
Course.
have a lot of space. We live in a 28-foot travel trailer, and we are business partners, and we are best
Yes,
friends,
yes.
and we are spiritual partners, and we are so many things. And conflict is, I don't know, I guess when I think of like literally any other relationship I've ever had, like this is so different in like the conflict, like the highs are so high that the like conflict is so on the other end of the spectrum. And like learning to, like you said, like just navigate that and not react and remember the love, right? Like that's what the show was born from, is trying to show other people, you are not your conflict. Like, you are not your patterns or your behaviors or your traumas or your wounds, like any of that stuff. And like really loving people, for who they inherently are and kind of that core essence. Which there's two other things I want to ask you. And I want to talk a little bit about empathy and this, what you were saying about like seeing people for their inner children and this beautiful skill you both have. I felt it from you immediately. We talked really deeply about it. And then of course I want to talk about Reiki, but in this kind of empathy realm, you know, what a gift it through both your traumas and your twinship that you learned this very early on. I had a twinship,
Love
like
that.
queenship, a
Yeah.
twinship. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. You're welcome. You may have it.
Yes, for us, yes, for us. Thank you
I
so much.
created it just for you.
Thank you so much. We have a twin ship. A ship. Oh. Want to be? Am I being too nice to you?
Honestly, I think I might not even take that out because that was wild, and I think you're gonna hear it in the sound. Our door just popped, like opened, like our and in RVs, if you're not familiar, you saw it's like a metal handle that you have to pull,
Yes.
and our door just flew open.
We're
So,
running some
oh
interference
wow,
on the show right now.
sorry about that. Back to what I was saying, empathy. You've had
Yeah.
this beautiful opportunity since you were young to like really develop this skill. And what I kept hearing when you were talking was like, your poison became your medicine. Your poison became your medicine, right? Like for
Yes.
me as a child growing up, also very challenging. And
Yes.
I had to learn to be very hyper attuned to the energy, the situation, and the mood specifically of those around me. And so through that trauma, right? That's a large word, but through that experience, I then learned to be very hyper. I mean, like, I'm another gift coming on right now is seeing auras and seeing energies. And so, like, I literally see the auric and energetic shift when someone switches into like anger or dishonesty or fear, like, it's immediately palpable. And so, yeah, I would love so much if you just, whatever direction you want to take it, but sharing a bit about that empathy and that love, because I think it's something we so desperately need in this world. And I would love for our listeners to take some of that home today. And you guys are a beautiful example of an entire lifetime of developing and honing this, seeing people's inner children and choosing love. I mean, you didn't really have a choice, right? Like you're twins, and empathy and compassion, because it's what makes you the beautiful healers you are, and why you're so successful and why you're so incredible, which we'll talk about in our last question. But however you feel called to take this, I would just love to hear more of your perspective on this, you know, empathy lens.
I think we grew up witnessing how not to treat other people just because we were bullied, we were targeted, like called out in front of our family, like consistently just like torn down. And I could feel that within me, and I knew it did not feel good. So I would never, in my head, I said, I will never want to make someone feel this way. And I stayed true to that, I believe. Sometimes, you have to set boundaries and do what you got to do, but I've never taken out any sort of like aggression or pain on other people because I'm very aware that it would be from my own pain, except some, maybe like some experiences, but. Well, in college maybe, but that was like not me. Sometimes you have to go through those kinds of things. Yeah, so I just felt like I learned to do the opposite of what I witnessed. And I think that that's part of us as humans. We're all very connected. There is a collective consciousness where our energies affect each other. And when we have higher frequency emotions, higher frequency experiences, those trickle out into the rest of the world and helps in some way. And the more that we focus on opening our hearts, because it's ultimately our heart chakras that connect us, and it's where we're magnetic here, so we attract. And if we remain open from this center, we can really start to attract beautiful connections that bring you things that you need, and you don't have to worry about physical, the way that this matrix operates, where we have to work, work, work for our needs. But really, it's about our connections with other people and building a support system. And having no really family growing up to go to, we have learned to build our own family this way, because people need empathy and they can feel it and they start to really grow from it. And then it's kind of like a, it's like a pay it forward effect. So I think that kindness is so important. I think it can really like shift us out of a lot of things. And that's something that I think that this reality could really use more of, and some a message that they need to hear. So yeah.
I agree.
Oh, you agree.
Yeah,
Yes.
I
Yeah.
so adorable. From what you just shared, Jesse, and then Jules, what you shared earlier when you were talking about the healing and holding people in unconditional love, I'm starting to see this pattern between the both of you, in that you're able to really hold somebody in their most innocent presence, right? To be able to see someone's inner child, regardless of what's on the surface. That's a very potent healing medicine, because, in this partnership, it's been a lot of reclaiming our inner children. And when I can see my partner, no matter how they are expressing, as the inner child, it immediately depolarizes any sort of reaction within myself to kind of add fuel to the fire, and to be able to move into this caretaker and kindness role that the Divine Mother and the Divine Father play in our experience, right? And to be able to hold her in a space of healing. And for us, similar to you, it's been this like deep, deep unconditional love. And that, I think, by itself is the most potent medicine that either of us have ever experienced. Because when my partner held me in unconditional love, when I came to and you came conscious and realized the negative patterns that were in my experience, the addictions that I was facing, the true pain that I had caused my partner, and to see them be able to see me and my pain, and how essentially I was just acting out of all my previous programming, and hold me in a space of unconditional love, there was nowhere for the ego to go, right? There's no like, you can't love me right now. Like, what's it gonna fight, and what that's the deepest healing that we found, is being able to just completely depolarize the defense mechanisms that are present in our minds by just holding the space of unconditional love and grace. And I see that from both of you, in how you interact with each other, how you interacted with us in the space while we were physically together, and how it seems you approach your clients as well.
Yeah, it's so true. Leads us perfectly into our last question. I'm not gonna lie, like as you were talking, I was like, oh, that's really attractive. Thank you for that
That's really
reflection and just what you were saying. Just so
just
proud of how far we've come, and I'm sure you
yes.
took that moment a lot as well. Like this work is
Yeah.
challenging, and like we are, I say light warrior, I don't say light
Yes,
warrior,
you are.
and
Yes,
like we
we
are
are. Yes.
warriors, and it's like,
Yes. Yes.
what does a light warrior mean? It literally just means someone who's like doing the work and choosing
Yeah.
love and whatever that looks like. You don't have to use the words we use to bring more light into this world and into your heart and into the collective. And so it leads us perfectly to Reiki, because I was kind of, and you can fact check me, my brain's a little fuzzy. Like our very, very first awakening experience was our first time with LSD, where we like literally saw oneness. But we were so asleep, it was like, wow, that was cool, and then forgot it the next day. But what actually truly like started our awakening journey was stumbling on Reiki, when like he was massaging me, and we had connected with cannabis, and it was like, what is ha like an energetic experience started happening. And we are really big about Reiki. I know you feel really called to it. We do a lot of it, we receive a lot of it, and I would love so much, I feel like Reiki is kind of Reiki and acupuncture. They feel like the two things that are bridging the gap, of like, I don't want to use this word because I don't know any other word, but like normies and like people who exist in the matrix and the Western medicine and aren't super spiritual or aren't really tapped into energy, because that's really all any of this is. And then you have, people like us who are, and I feel like acupuncture and Chinese medicine has been a really great door in. And I feel like Reiki is this thing that is just exploding right now. Like everyone's doing Reiki. Like you're seeing Reiki everywhere. And I love that, because it's like this subtle, quiet, like, hey, everything's energy, like you can do this. We can all do this. We can change energy. We can, well, not create energy, but you know what I mean. And so I love so much from your perspective, like, What is Reiki? What does that look like for you too? You know, how do you see Reiki? How do you, what, like maybe some of your success stories? Because something you really pointed out, Jesse, in the beginning is like people are not healing, right? Like if there's one thing we can agree on across, no matter who's listening to this and what you believe, people are getting sicker. We're not healing. And so obviously there's something further going on. We agree with you here on the show. It's trauma. Trauma stores itself in the body. It stores itself in the light body, physically, energetically, somatically. And so, yeah, however you want to share about, you know, your journey with Reiki and how you see this helping people.
Do you want to? Sure. If you want me to. Okay. So for Jesse and I, like Reiki, we really just think of ourselves as, I mean, obviously light warriors, but also just energy workers. So a lot of it, we really just adopted the fact that Reiki translates to the word energy. And we kept the word Reiki in our business and our work because we respect Japan. That was like in its origins of, you know, the Japanese origins, the Dr. Yusai and how he channeled it, and a lot of text, and a lot of things that we were led to also connected Reiki to like extraterrestrial origins too. So the channeling of the symbols from his work, Dr. Yusai, there's been further research to say that he was channeling like Arcturians, and that's something that is very resonates with Jesse and I a lot. The extraterrestrial, just feeling like we are not of this world, that we are here to bring in a new, isn't even new, a forgotten, a hidden way of thinking, way of being that is much more naturally aligned, because we are in the midst of a transhuman agenda, an agenda that takes us away from humanness to artificial. We're at a point in civilization where we can see that's happening. Everybody is on synthetic drugs, people are wearing synthetic clothes, there's everything's techno, like through our phones, through the screens at this point. But in the same time, there is a deep awakening happening within us, because that's where everything, you know, that's where everything is. We have this internal consciousness, this internal truth, this universe inside of us that connects to our source. And so Reiki is just that energy given to other people in a way where it's programmed, intentionally spread to help and heal from the most positive, highest
Loving,
loving
conscious.
consciousness. We're not really like traditional. I really consider it more, we think of it as quantum work. So the recalling of soul fragments, the going back, the going forward, of bringing in things that other that may have been, you know, torn over time through trauma. And also you can send it to the future as well. So that makes it like, you know, infinite. We don't see it as something that's super like profitable in a way where we're gonna like just promote Reiki to become something that ends up an institution. It's not like that. I think that Reiki to Jesse and I is all, it's free energy. Like in many ways, it's something that people can comprehend to open the doors to the consciousness of free energy, and that it's abundant, and that it doesn't, it's everywhere. So eventually, like, we would love to just see people just being like, I know Reiki, I use it, and it's a part of our, it's a norm. That's ultimately like where it is. But Jesse and I, we're so sensitive to energy, and our, like, we were very wounded young, and she went through the healthcare system. She went through what we're programmed to think is like a solution. We were not awake. We were awakened to like energy work, but we were also awakened to the like fifth dimensional consciousness as well. So we don't see what we're doing. We see what we're doing now as a bridge to a higher realm of like free energy, where healing is kind of even like something that we move beyond as a consciousness. It becomes, you know, we're in a state of harmony and unity. And I think there's light work warriors here to kind of bridge the gap between, you know, the old and the new. And healing is a dimension of consciousness. But ultimately, we can get to a state where we've learned how our bodies work ultimately and how trauma works.
And our bodies have like this natural innate healing ability to fix problems that, with, the right kind of circumstances, the right kind of energetic healing, and even like herbal remedies, there's ways that we don't necessarily have to be dependent on, the current healthcare system. And I believe that the Reiki is the start of like kind of a new healthcare or way to look at it, because the people that come in here, they're aware of their last resort, but that's okay because it really works. And they come, they find us, they want to shift some, they want to shift out of old habits, they want to change things, but they've been stuck. So we work with them, we get them unstuck, and then we witness them grow and not really need us as much. Like, we still talk, but they don't need our services as much. And that's the exact thing that we want for them, that we do not want them to be dependent on us. We just want to be like all part of their journey, and then they move on and they grow and they experience more things for themselves and for their souls. So we've had a lot of people just come go, or but we also have a lot of people who do rely on our services for the most part right now, but it's usually very temporary. And we've seen just huge shifts in like actually wanting to live. They usually want to do something with themselves after they start seeing us, and they'll branch out, they'll just take big leaps of faith, and really it all starts to align, or they'll meet like the right person, or they'll find love for themselves more. And it really helps with like a lot of chronic illnesses and pain, especially pain. So we get a lot of feedback about that.
I love so much what you brought up in the end there, and I'm just gonna kind of spit some things out because I remember when I learned about Reiki. I mean, this was a couple years, 2, 3 years ago now, but I was really surprised. I had so many maybe just like assumptions and preconceived notions in my head. Like for example, this can be done across time and space, right? So like you don't even need to be on a Zoom with me. You can send me Reiki. You can do treatments, over Zoom, which is amazing because as we saw with the events of 2020 and on, we're in a much more digital world now. And so it's really beautiful to see this healing happening and see this resurgence of, I love so much that you reminded, like it's not new, it's ancient. To me, Reiki always brings me back to the core truth that like everything's energy. If we can do this, I mean, what can't we do, right? Like the possibilities are endless. Like if you can understand that twins can telepathically communicate, well, then so can you with literally anyone. And it just really opens the box of possibilities. And I think this is, I don't think, right? This is why these things have been suppressed and have been, discarded as woo-woo and crazy and all of this stuff because that's powerful, right? It's so powerful. And so Reiki is a really beautiful way, I feel like, that we can start to take that power back, being this infinite free energy that is equally and abundantly given to us all. So thank you both for, what you're doing and the people that you're helping, because I think people like us, I mean the four of us, but light workers and really empaths. And I think I wanted to touch on that too. I think that word is massively overused and abused. Like people don't really understand what that means. Like, oh yeah, I'm an empath. Like I feel people's feelings, and it's so much more than that. And being an empath, like we are, I feel like the chosen ones, something beautiful I heard recently was the chosen ones are the ones who chose, which, well, that was amazing. Thank you, Zeke, Superstar, for that. But we are the ones that are called to heal those things, right? Like, and I don't know why this is coming to my mind. I feel like it's a really good example to use, but like child trafficking or child abuse, sexual abuse, like maybe not even just on children, like those people need healing too, right? And it's like you can only really truly meet those people and heal them when you are in the frequency of empathy and compassion, because we all were children, we all were innocent at some point. And so I feel like the way forward for humanity is remembering that. And for people like us, getting out there and being able and willing to hold space for everyone, right? We all need love. Like, that's the core basis of this show is if we're going to heal, we're all going to do it together. So
Yes,
thank you for
exactly.
your part in that healing.
What you've just shared is essentially the fact that, and because energy unites us, we have the capacity to heal on these quantum levels. And the beautiful part about what y'all have done with your practice specifically is that there is definitely a focus and an emphasis on actual healing and allowing people to move on versus the dependency that most people experience with the Western system, which is holistic healing, right? It's yes, it's an umbrella, but really what it is finding the core root of whatever is causing a distortion in your life, healing it and moving on, right? Not taking a pill for the rest of your life. And when we do this type of healing work, it was through healing my partner that I learned how to find healing within myself, and it's almost like there's this dance and this balance between those of us who've been called to this higher level of healing and those who are seeking healing work, in that you go and you experience this deeper level of healing, and it actually activates the healer within you. And then you are then able to go out into your community and do healing in your own relationships and within your own self. And then on a higher level, when we all get to that point, to be able to actually send this unconditional love and this energy for these states of consciousness in the collective, the sexual perversion state of consciousness, the war
Exactly.
consciousness, the
Yeah.
slavery consciousness,
Yeah.
and to be able to hold that consciousness in our awareness with
Yeah.
unconditional love and actually do healing work for
Yes.
all of us as a species. And
Yes.
it's just there's just no end to it. And when we all come back to the true and real alignment of who we are as humanity, and we come back together in union and be able to consciously relate with everything around us,
Yes.
that's our natural state of being. That
Yeah.
it's all unconditional love. And then
Yes.
that we find ourselves no longer needing healing because
Yeah.
the healing's been done, and we can just live from that place of unconditional love.
Exactly. Exactly.
Why we do what we do.
Yeah.
I also love, thank you for sharing the darkness of your experience too, because we've come on and we've shared a lot of our story,
Yes, good.
and the conflict that can arise in our partnership. But
Yes.
sometimes conscious relating gets glorified in this space of like, oh, I'm just gonna go get in a conscious relationship and we're gonna
Yeah.
be happy 100% of the time. Spiritual ego even got me just the other day. I was like, I want us to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I
Yeah, it's like
was
it's actually beautiful to have these catalysts and to continue
like,
growing and to be able to unconditionally love whoever you're in relationship with allows you to live out these catalysts to their full extent and actually learn the lessons and actually grow. It's not about achieving a relationship that has no conflict. It's
Yeah.
about being able to return to love in the relationship that you have, regardless of what comes up, and continue learning and continue growing together.
That's very important. Very important.
I love you guys so much.
Love you.
I'm so glad you came here, and what a beautiful, unique. I don't know personally, I'm not saying they don't exist, but I don't know any other light worker star seed twins. I don't. Y'all are pretty epic, and you just have such a unique perspective. So thank you for sharing your story on how you're navigating this as twins and all of the things and bringing this medicine of Reiki to the show. We have not done an episode about Reiki yet. So I would love to close this out with some info on y'all. And I don't actually know the answer to this. Do you do virtual sessions?
Yes,
Okay, so you do offer
indeed.
virtual sessions. Yeah, if you would plug, if you've got a website or socials or however you want people to connect with you if they're interested in learning more about Reiki and all of the things.
We have a physical shop that we do healing sessions in. It is located in downtown Manio, North Carolina. Especially like in the wintertime, we have a lot of time to do like long distance sessions. We do virtual healing, we do readings virtually. Julie does past life regressions, and that's able to be done long distance as well. You can Visit our website, ReikiTwins.com. There's a lot more information on there. We have Instagram and Facebook, Reiki Twins. So, yeah, that's really, and we answer emails. I mean, yeah, we're around.
They
So,
could telepathically call out to
yes. So, well, a lot of times I know when someone's about to call me, but it's like,
you.
it's really
It, yeah.
amplified.
It's wild. I will
Yes.
definitely plug all of those beautiful things in the show notes. I obviously can't recommend y'all enough as people and Starseed family, and your shop is beautiful. Everything is, I mean, exquisitely chosen. I have quite a few crystals for you in my house. I don't know. How many did we get? 7, 8, 10? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Not enough. We didn't get enough, but beautiful products and beautiful people. So thank you both for sharing your love and coming on here. And yeah, I would love it. Let's just like close it out with y'all. Do you have any advice or any words you'd like to share with people as they're navigating their journeys? Maybe something that's helped you and
Going back to like talking about us sharing the dark parts, and seeing the darkness is important, and like really, and not necessarily like being in that space all the time, but there's a lot of illumination that absolutely needs to happen in that space of shadow. It can explain a lot of what people feel when you're able to comprehend pain and trauma. And looking at it from a perspective of loving it, like loving every single piece and every single experience you went through, because it made you like it makes you a stronger, more resilient person, like really working with resiliency. Jesse and I, we've always thought that word's always resonated for us both, like the resilient being of like constantly death and rebirth and bringing yourself back to life. I almost think it's a phenomenal thing that we can do as humans, and it separates us into our divinity.
Yeah, it's okay to step out of your comfort zone because fear is the frequency that has really held us back from soul evolution. Oftentimes, that's just a program and something that we can work through, and we can change our thoughts and kind of break through certain patterns so we can really start to live instead of just exist.
Those were really, really beautiful pieces of
Yeah.
advice and sentiments. So, thank you both so much. We love
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you
You.
for showing people, you know, it can be done and we can choose love, we can consciously relate. And if y'all can do it, being stuck with each other since in the womb, then anyone can do it.